Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So, Porky, here we are.
We certainly are.
Very nearly Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a great spirit out there.
OTR.
Some of which... what do you mean OTR?
OTR.
What are you saying OTR for?
Because that's what we're doing. We're doing OTR on the record,
it's called
okay?
On the record, okay? I mean, yeah. I'm formal about these things. I would like
I like
to...
the acronym.
Yeah, I know you like the acronym.
Yeah.
You know, like as in Mike Porky Parry, MPP. I prefer on the record to OTR.
Actually, that's Mike Parry Promotions, which is my company.
Oh, is that another one of your companies
yeah,
you haven't told
right.
me
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah.
How many companies have you got?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Who cares?
Well, I mean, you know, sure it's only... tax man cares.
Well, don't worry, because I'm in the business of writing out checks at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, all these...
So how many tax returns do you have to file?
Oh, about four.
Four?
Yeah, about four, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming to near the end of the two Mike's year.
It sure is.
And I have to say, we had possibly the most amazing show
we certainly did
that anybody has ever seen and that I've ever been involved in just on Sunday night because this podcast is coming out towards the end of the week just before Christmas and Sheffield Empire did us proud.
They certainly did.
The people who came did us proud. I never thought in my life that I'd be standing on the stage where Robert Plant and Jimmy Page stood, where The Who have played,
your
where David Bowie has stood. I never thought I'd be standing there, right, high-fiving people who were up in the front of the
mosh pit. Yeah.
In front of the stage, singing Fairy Tale of New York.
Well, one guy there...
He was absolutely extraordinary.
It was absolutely extraordinary. One guy was there who was aged about 80. He must have been 80.
80? Said,
yeah, he was about 80,
really?
Honestly.
I didn't
he
see
said,
him
oh, he said, the last time I saw a crowd get as excited as this was the Beatles. So he must be 80.
You're
making
that up.
No, I'm not making that
no
up.
No chance.
I am not making that up.
I did not see anyone that age.
I swear to you, it was the time it was the Beatles.
Really?
And by the way, I then... tried to check it out. I'm not even sure the Beatles played at the...
The Beatles have never played at Sheffield
Empire, no. I didn't think so.
But you know who was there a lot? Because our good friend from Sunday Express told me that Terry Wogan used to film all his shows there.
Well, that's where he did the George Best one, George Best one, where George Best came on completely out of his face.
So it's possible that Terry Wogan may have interviewed George Harrison or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Beatles ever played there.
No, I don't think they do.
But don't worry, because everybody else did. You know, Adele played there, Amy Winehouse played there, Oasis have played there.
That's right.
In fact, your good mate Liam Gallagher is playing there next year.
That's right.
As part of a special festival.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now then, our favourite city.
It
was
incredible.
It was
absolutely. Stop talking about it already?
No.
We've got plenty of time here, to talk about it.
No, it was absolutely incredible. And I have to say, everybody who was associated with it did such a great job for the night to have worked out so well.
The bad news for me, of course, is that as a result of certain incidents that went on, I appear to be now no longer the owner, proud owner of an iPad.
Can't you get your act together?
Do you know what happened?
Go on.
Right. I get in a cab.
Yeah.
My daughter, God bless her, was kind of chaperoning me most of the night. She said to me, I tell you what, I'm going to put you in a cab. I said, fine. You go inside, put me in a cab. She found the cab. I got in the cab. I got home.
Yeah.
I carry a black bag with me, as
that's
you know,
right.
which you constantly refer to as a sort of horrible-looking sack.
Yes, that's right.
You keep telling me I should get some
shoulders.
Kind of proper
get yourself
you know,
a man bag.
Well, we'll see whether that happens at Christmas. I don't know.
Got a
we'll
feeling
see.
That you might be getting one of those
it's very
from
possible.
Santa. Yeah.
Anyway, I get home. I realise the iPad's not there.
Mm.
So I text her. I say, look, I'm sorry, darling.
Yeah.
My iPad's not here. She said, don't worry. I'm going back to the venue to find it.
She's still open.
Yeah, it was still open. Wow. She then it was about midnight. She sends me a picture of the iPad.
Right.
With my, you know, with what I know is
so
the homepage.
She recovered it. Yeah.
Which is a picture from Greece when I was there of the sunset over the sea.
Yes.
So I'm so happy. Monday morning, I wake up.
Yeah.
I text her at about,
when are you bringing over the iPad?
8 o'clock. I'm like, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you later when you bring me the iPad.
Mm.
First of all, there's no response for about 3 hours. Right.
Right.
Because she's obviously been out on the rads.
Yes.
About 3 hours later.
Yes.
I get a note from her saying, oh, I haven't got it. I think somebody else has got it. Turns out she rescued it from the venue, took it to a bar where she carried on drinking with somebody else and then left it there.
No, that's great.
So it's disappeared.
But that's not the worst thing we lost that night.
What else have we lost?
The Peaky Blinders cap.
Oh, yes.
My Peaky Blinders cap, right? Mm. After the half...
How did you lose that then?
Well, let me tell you, after the half-time break, one of the lighting technicians came up to me and said, Mike, love the cap and all that kind of stuff, but can you take it off in the second half? I said, why? He said, we're having to bounce a light off the floor to get up inside the peak, you know? I said, yeah, okay.
But surely the amazing sort of terrible light that would be coming off your bald head would be something that would actually bother them more.
Well, my head isn't bald, but I thought they would, for the thinning part of my pate,
growing there, to be
the
fair.
Thinning part of my pate, I thought they wanted to cope more with a dazzle from the front of my lobe, you know.
Well, we'll see. When the video comes out, we'll see whether or not your shiny pate is actually worse than
covered
up.
Can you take it off? So I put it in my seat, and I didn't use my seat much. I was moving around the stage a bit, you know, so I wasn't...
This is why we tell you to sit down.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, at the end, we went and had a few drinks with a few friends upstairs in a bar.
We certainly did.
Called the VIP reception. No, it wasn't actually.
No,
it was before the
show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a reception
this
with friends
called
afterwards.
The after party.
The after party, that's right, yeah. And then I went back upstairs, collected all my stuff. No hat.
Yeah, well, thanks for getting my stuff.
Well, I didn't know your stuff was there.
Well, if you'd brought my stuff down, I wouldn't have lost it.
Well, you've lost it anyway, so that's your problem. And, you know... You've got to get your act
together.
Thanks
for your sympathy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So so I came back down and I said, anybody seen my my cap? And they had a sweep of the room and all that. Gone.
I thought you were accusing some woman of stealing it.
Well, what happened was, the following morning, I then opened up my phone and find a picture of a lady guest at the show who'd been there, you know, with her husband or
naked
boyfriend
picture?
Or something. Sorry?
Was it a naked picture?
Of course it wasn't a naked picture, you idiot. She was in the auditorium, right?
Yeah.
And she's standing in front of the stage with my hat on.
Right.
The Peaky Blinders cap.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, so at least somebody's got it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I said, can I have my hat back?
Are you sure that wasn't one of the relatives of one of the people that was working for us?
I don't think it was. Was
you
it?
Sure?
It might have been. I don't know. Might have been.
Well, maybe you should check it out, and that way you'll find it.
Well, no, because the mystery is solved. What happened was that one of our promotion team, Mr. Pooch, had gone down and swept the stage at the end to make sure we picked up all the cameras that were on the, or his people had picked up all the cameras that were on the stage filming stuff, and found my cap on the seat. So the lady concerned had gone and used it for a picture prop and then put it back.
And then put it back.
So I now know where it is. So and that hat is very special to me. It was given to me by Stephen Knight, who is the creator and writer of The Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
And the last,
which, as I've said to you before, has gone mad now.
No, the last episode is this week, right? Okay. So I'm not giving anything away about...
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
I know about the preview. Don't worry about all of that.
I'm not worried about it.
And
everybody's seen the preview, by the way.
Sorry?
Everybody's seen the preview.
No. I know a bit more about it than most.
Well, like what?
Well, I can't tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to ruin people's
You've spent your entire career ruining people's viewing.
No.
Porky Vision, by the way, is something we have to do on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we will.
Not this particular podcast, but in a podcast to come.
I totally agree. So anyway, the point of my story is, Stephen Knight gave it to me when we went to a... what did we go to? A showing of the first episode of the third series, right? And Cillian Murphy wasn't there, but the lad who is Michael,
the guy who was shot in the third,
the guy who was shot, that's right,
third episode of the new series,
but didn't die. The brother died.
Yeah.
What was his name? I've forgotten now.
Well, the brother hasn't died yet, I don't think.
No, the brother has. The brother was killed in the shootout with the Italians.
Oh, when they came out of the hay bales.
Michael survived because the bullets that went through the brother hit him, so they had less impact.
But
you
also,
know.
Michael is now the subject of the deal that may be done by his mother,
that's right,
in order to sell out Cillian Murphy.
Well, all of this, and Michael's gone to live with gypsies so that they can roam around the countryside and keep away from the Italians. Well, in those days, they were called, gypsies.
There is a thing called the Gypsy Council.
Of course there is. There's a man who's head of the Gypsy Council.
I got in trouble on the radio once for saying gypsy.
That's right.
Even though the Gypsy Council called themselves the Gypsy Council.
What I couldn't believe was the boss of TalkSport one time came in and said, you can't call this guy head of the Gypsy Council.
Right.
I said, that's his title.
Yes.
He said, well, that might be his title, but we don't want to use those words on TalkSport. I said, what? Are you mad? So when the chief executive of the Football Association comes on, should we say, the chief executive of a game that's played with a round ball?
Yes.
I mean...
His initials stand for F and A.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
which is what he fucking knew about what was going on.
Anyway, it was all great stuff. Now, I want to tell you about our favourite city in the world, OK?
OK, which is it?
Our favourite city in the world is Pyongyang.
No, well, it's one of the favourite cities that we have in
Pyongyang.
The world. Pyongyang is not necessarily our favourite city in the world. We'd like to go there, though.
Yeah.
We're at 2 Mics Live in Pyongyang.
Pyongyang.
Do you think they'd let us do it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, you read a lot of stories about Pyongyang.
And fairy tale of Pyongyang.
The fairy tale of Pyongyang. Now, the point is that their leader, his name...
Kim Jong-un.
He claims they've got the biggest building in the world.
Really?
In Pyongyang.
No, they haven't, though.
Well, he claims they have.
Well, no, bullshit. They haven't got the biggest building in the world. The biggest building in the world is in fact, as far as I'm aware, in Dubai, isn't it?
The tower.
Yeah. The one that went on fire the other day.
Yeah. Well, no, it didn't go on fire, actually.
Well, last year.
It was that was a different tower.
Was it?
Yeah, the tower that's the tallest in the world. What's it called? The Al Al something, is it, or something? Something like that,
yeah.
That is said to me, but the Koreans claim they've got the biggest, but they won't let anybody in to measure it.
The North Koreans.
Hey?
The North Koreans.
North Koreans, yeah.
Well, why do they have to measure it from the inside?
Well, no.
You don't let them in to measure it.
No. They won't let anybody in to measure it. You know, to see it. Anyway, they claim that the Ryugyeong. The Ryugyeong Hotel.
Yes.
Dominates skyline of Pyongyang.
Why are you reading that in a strange accent?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm trying to...
How many floors have you got?
I'm going to have to tell you. Right, it is one. It's described by an observer as one of the world's strangest landmarks and the most conspicuous construction project failure in the world. Okay?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Now, it's known locally as the Hotel of Doom.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The building work to erect it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do.
You know what I mean?
That's okay. I don't mind the use of the word erect.
Yeah. In that particular capacity.
Context, yeah.
Began in 1987.
Right.
Right.
Is the year I got married.
Oh, is that the year you got married?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have come to your wedding in New York.
I
brought a bottle of champagne into your glass outside.
I think you also came to the party in London. Were you not one of the few people that came to both parties?
I'm sure I was, yeah. I'm sure I probably was. Now, although this is supposed to be the tallest building in the world and the world's most prominent hotel, no guest has yet stayed there, even though it was started in 1987, okay?
Yeah, okay.
It's yet to host a guest.
Mm.
It's got 105 stories, right?
Right.
And at 1,083 feet, which, if you're, you know, talking European, is 330 metres...
That's not as tall as the World Trade Centre.
Hang on. It's 60 foot taller than London Shard, OK?
Yeah.
But, satellite pictures say it's nowhere near as high as the building that we've just been talking about, the Burj Khalifa.
That's it.
Burj Khalifa in Dubai.
Yeah.
Which is 2,717 feet high.
That's quite a lot higher.
Which, exactly, equates to 828 metres.
And I would guarantee you that not only is that building taller, but there was one in Kuala Lumpur, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the Twin Towers.
Yeah, sure.
Which was before they
built... Looks like a temple.
Yeah, before they built the Burj Khalifa.
That's
right. The tallest building in the world.
That's right.
And it was higher than the Hancock Tower in Chicago.
Which used to be the Sears Roebuck.
Higher than the World Trade Center.
Yes.
But the World Trade Center, I remember this, I don't know why I remember it,
yeah.
was 107 stories.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's already taller than 105 in Pyongyang.
Well, the other thing is, of course, in Pyongyang, people are generally smaller than Americans because they're North Korean. So maybe they don't need as high a ceiling.
Actually, Koreans are quite tall.
Sorry?
Koreans are quite tall.
Yeah, maybe they don't need as high a ceiling, you know, for each room.
That's rubbish.
No, it's not. It's not.
No. That is
Seen the entrance ways on the HMS Victory? Because when Lord Nelson,
because people in those days were a lot smaller.
That's what I'm saying, a lot smaller. Yeah, so
you don't know anything about the people of North Korea. The people of North Korea, like the people of South Korea, are actually quite tall.
Yeah, well, I'm sure some of them are, but generally speaking, they're a nation who are not physically as tall or large as the Western world.
No, that's not true.
Because the Western world, unfortunately, sticks hamburgers down their throat quite excessively and become bigger in all sorts of directions.
No, you are wrong. Genetically speaking, because I've studied this, right? In Southeast Asia.
Where did you study it?
Singapore.
Oh, Singapore.
When I went to Singapore.
What were you doing in Singapore?
I was there on a freebie.
Oh, you ran away with somebody, didn't you?
No.
No?
What I did was I went there on a freebie, and what I was told when I was being escorted around by the Singapore Tourist Board was that it's very easy to spot all sorts of different people from all sorts of different countries in Singapore, because you get Malays from Malaysia, you get Japanese from Japan, you get Burmese.
Well, that's where they generally come from,
Where do people from Burma come from?
Burma.
Yeah, no, incorrect. You see, you got that wrong. Myanmar, actually.
Well, but Myanmar is what the modern-day Burma is called.
Exactly right. Yes. You also get Koreans, you also get Chinese.
Yeah.
Okay, now...
Yep.
There are different ethnic types amongst all of those. I know that somebody like you would not, in fact, delineate between them.
Yeah.
You just go, oh, yeah, well, they're all, you know, Chinese type
people. No, I didn't say that. I'd never be that insolent to a race
Koreans,
of people.
Koreans yeah. are much taller, right,
yeah.
than Japanese people, for example.
Not always.
Yes, they are.
Not always.
As a general rule, on average, yeah. yes, they are.
Okay, you
same,
say so.
Same way that Malaysians are, generally speaking,
yeah.
more flat-faced than the Chinese.
Did you... A more flat face.
Flat face, yes.
What, like the Flatiron building we went to in New York?
No, that's shaped like a flat iron.
You know what I mean? Yeah, well, that's a flat face and a flat iron. Or flat.
No, the Flatiron building is actually pointy.
Yeah, well, that's pointy at the top to make it look
no,
like an iron.
No, it's pointy at the front. It's triangular.
Let me tell you this.
Right.
When you were in Singapore, did you go to the Hard Rock Cafe?
In Singapore, no, I didn't.
I did.
I did go to the Hard Rock Cafe in Mallorca. Palma. Yeah.
Really? Why?
Yes, because we were leaving that day.
What's that got to do with the price of fish?
Well, you asked me about the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, in Singapore, because you were talking about Singapore.
Yeah, but I've been to the Hard Rock Cafe in Mallorca.
Right, let me get back to Pai and Gaiang, okay?
Right, okay?
Pai and Gaiang.
We need to have a break in a moment.
Yeah, all right. Well, let me just tell you this. Even at the time when building began,
yeah.
right, it wouldn't have been the tallest then. You're quite right. Other buildings in America and yeah. all that were taller, right?
Exactly.
It was, you're absolutely right, the Sears, now Willis Tower. Did you call it?
I call it the John Hancock.
Oh, well, it's Willis Tower now, apparently.
Yeah. Actually, maybe the John Hancock's the one next door.
Could be, yeah. 1,450 feet, okay?
Yeah.
It could however have claimed to be the tallest hotel in the world at the time, because it was a hotel.
Yes.
The whole thing was a hotel, you see what I mean?
Well, you can't call yourself a hotel if nobody stayed there.
Well, no, but it was built as a hotel.
Doesn't matter.
This is the whole point.
Yeah.
Had it ever opened, but it has never opened. Now, today, the tallest hotel in the world is the 77-floor JW Marriott Marquis in Dubai.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, work began while Kim Il-sung, North Korea's founder...
Kim Jong-un's grandfather, I think.
Father, isn't he?
Is he?
Is he? Oh, grandfather, perhaps.
No, because I think his father was Kim Jong-il.
Okay.
Kim Jong-sun, I think, was the grandfather of Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, could well be right.
I think I am right.
Because it says that he, of course, was dubbed the eternal president, okay?
That's right.
And he was still in power. Now, it should have opened, having started in 1987, it should have opened in 1989.
Right.
But unfortunately, there was a severe economic crash and famines in the 90s.
Famines.
Yeah, which left the country in no position to finish it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, North Korea has been one long economic crisis ever since it was founded.
I think that's true.
And in fact, I was the man who revealed to the world, having got information from my naval intelligence sources, that people in North Korea are so hungry and starving, they break into parks at night and eat the bark off the trees.
Why do they break into the park?
To get to the trees, to eat the bark off the trees. Sorry, what's your problem?
Well,
it's true.
Don't they have trees in the street?
Well, they do, but they're not as good a tree, if you see what I mean.
No,
you know what I mean?
I don't think that's true.
Trees in the street get polluted with all sorts of, you know, pollution, all that kind of stuff.
What's the name of the recently built park in Pyongyang?
In Pyongyang? I don't know.
What's the name of it?
Well, I don't know. It'd be like the President's Park or something like
park.
That.
Bark Park?
Bark Park. Yeah, it could be Bark Park, yeah. But unfortunately, and this is nothing to make light of, people in North Korea are so deprived and so in need of food and sustenance, they do eat bark off the trees.
Yeah.
I am, you know, reliably told, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Now
I'll tell you what you're going to have to tell me for a moment is you have to stop and listen to this.
Okay.
Because in the middle of all of this,
good.
We have to hear this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Right, there we go. Now then, let me get on with this fascinating tale about this hotel
that
never opened. It is fascinating,
We've been going on far too long.
So, the hotel, right, the Ryogyong.
Yeah.
Ryogyong
Hotel. You can
hotel.
Check out, but you can't check in. Yeah, it's the opposite of Hotel California.
That's right. Let me tell you this.
Go on.
Has, ever since 1989, been nothing more than a concrete shell. Now, Egypt, then, for some unknown reason, some investment group in Egypt called the Orascom Group, which was also the people who put in North Korea's mobile phone system, okay? I didn't even know North Korea had a mobile phone system.
Well, I probably bet they don't.
Why would you need a mobile phone in North Korea?
You're not allowed to ring anyone.
No, you're not, no.
And if you do ring anyone, they're listening in. So if you're going there from, say, the West, right?
Yeah.
And you check in with your Vodafone and you go, right, I'm just going to make a call to London. I know. Yeah,
but not only that, wouldn't you think that, well, hang on, a mobile phone, you can access information from the outside world.
Exactly.
So they wouldn't let you have one, would they?
I'm sure they haven't got Google there.
I bet you hardly anybody in North Korea has got a mobile phone. Except,
well, if
like,
they can't eat, if they've got food, yeah, they're not going to have a phone, are they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, if you had £10 one month, would you say, I think we'll buy a bit of boiled rat, because that's apparently all that some people have to
download
eat.
An extra 10 gigabytes of data.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What would you do?
Yeah.
So anyway, this group from Egypt, the Orascom group, actually paid to complete the outside the glossy exterior of the building in 2011.
Uh-huh.
Now, earlier this year, apparently...
Has it got cladding on it, then? Is that the thing?
Yeah, it's got cladding on it, yeah, definitely, yeah. Earlier this year, there were reports of lights shining from the apex, i.e. a beam like upwards.
Oh, yeah.
There's a building in Las Vegas like that, isn't it? It's called the Pyramid.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Pyramid Hotel in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's got a...
Well, I mean, when you go to Vegas and LA and places like that, and even New York, sometimes they set those searchlights up in the sky.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Whenever there's like a premiere on or something going on.
That's right.
So does this place happen permanently?
Which place?
The place in Pyongyang? No, the one in Vegas.
Oh, in Las Vegas, you can actually see it from a spaceship. You can see the beam of light coming out of the...
When's the last time you're on a spaceship?
The Pyramid Hotel. Well, I haven't been on a spaceship, but I read reports of people who are.
Are you sure you haven't been abducted?
Well, I've flown at 60,000 feet on the Concorde, which makes you officially... Your official status is astronaut if you fly over 50,000 feet.
We've already discounted that as a load of old bollocks.
Yeah.
So you can't keep repeating it.
That's a bit harsh.
You can't keep repeating it.
Anyway, it says, so earlier this year, there were reports of light shining from the Apex building in the Ryogyong Hotel, right?
Right.
Leading to speculation, the hotel's about to open.
Right.
So, the Western world's been waiting ever since.
Right.
It's not
open. And this was how long ago?
This was earlier this year, so could have been like 9-10 months ago. But not opened.
If you've got a hotel in Dubai run by the Marriott, it's going to be full most of the time.
Yes.
And it might even survive on 85% occupancy.
Yes.
You've got a hotel in Pyongyang.
Yes.
Which has got 77 floors. Is it 77 floors?
Yeah, 77.
God knows how many rooms. Thousands of rooms.
Yeah.
You know, you're only ever going to have about four people in it.
Well,
at any one time.
I don't know why you'd need a hotel in Pyongyang anyway, because nobody goes there.
That's what I mean.
So, I mean, most of the people who are anybody in North Korea work for the military.
Yes.
And the military have their own established, you know, like accommodation, hotels, call them what you want. It's a bit like when I went to Russia.
Mm.
Because of Peter Hitchens, who was our correspondent there then. You know Peter Hitchens, obviously.
I know him
very good friend of mine. Yeah, he was our Russian correspondent. Yeah, very good friend, yeah. He got me into a hotel called the New October.
Yeah.
Now, the New October, like Novy Oktyabrsky, you know what I mean?
Or something
like that. Yeah, the New October, because the revolution was in October, you see.
Yeah, well,
so,
I figured that. Yeah.
Yeah, you figured that. Yeah. So, Peter.
So, it should be the old October, shouldn't it?
No, it was called the New October.
Yeah, but the old October would be better.
Well, no, because October every year is a great place, you know, because the revolution happened.
Yeah, but the revolution happened in olden days.
Eh?
1917.
Yeah, it did. 17 and 18, wasn't it?
We've done a quiz on this.
Took about a year, didn't it? The revolution, yeah. Mm. Anyway, the point of my story is.
Yeah, what is the point of your story?
So I get in there, and it's a fantastic hotel, very luxurious. The New October.
Yeah.
But it is only for KGB operatives.
So what were you doing there?
Well, this is the point. Peter had a friend inside the Kremlin and got me into this hotel, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And the interesting thing was that when you came out of the lift, on every floor, there was a woman sitting at a table,
right,
who asked you who you were, where are you going, what were you doing?
But was she sitting at a table like a sort of a member of some kind of Politburo?
She was sitting at a table monitoring movements on the floor.
But was she sitting in a kind of loose manner? Was she in an efficient sort of... I'm in an office type scenario.
Oh,
okay.
But the point is,
check her boots for the old Elsa Klebb daggers that come out of the tape?
I should have done, because the point is, they watch every movement. Now, my room was bugged as well.
Was it?
Bugged, camera behind the mirror, huh?
Well, how do you know that?
Peter told me.
Right. Did you do the thing that James Bond does in Hong Kong where he throws the thing at the mirror and then the guys are behind with the camera?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't want to upset my...
Well, how do you know that they were there?
Well, Peter told me. Peter knew everything. Richard Littlejohn was in Moscow at the time.
Was he?
And, he had some funny experiences as well.
Go to hell in a handcart.
Go to hell in a handcart and all that. Now, let me tell you
Who did you take with him?
Sorry?
Who did you take with him?
Who would I take to hell with me?
No, who did Richard Littlejohn take with him?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. It was just a group of us were there, you know. Okay.
What sort of group were you in with Richard Littlejohn?
Well,
it's not like a band, is it?
No. I was there because we were opening a new bureau. He happened to be around at the time. Don't know why. Yeah,
sounds very fishy, that.
Well, a bit fishy, but anyway, there we go. Mm. Now, let me tell you, the point of the story is...
The point of the story is that
Perestroika and... Glasnost were coming, right?
Right.
And you could see the easing of the shackles in Russian society. Yeah. And so I went down to the bar, right? And I said, oh, hello.
How unusual.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I'd had so much vodka by then. I'd been there 2 or 3 days. I'm not joking. Do you know in Russia you can get banana-flavoured vodka, strawberry vodka, chocolate vodka?
Yes.
Yeah, incredible.
Well, you get it here as well now.
Yeah, that's right. But they drink vodka. We had dinner inside one of the Kremlin palaces, right? They pour vodka into your wine glass like it's wine.
Like it's wine, yeah.
And people drink it like it's wine. It's quite unbelievable. Mm. And so I said, have you got anything except vodka? Because that's all they had. They said, oh, yes, we've got champagne.
Right.
I said, champagne? I said, oh, well, what, you mean from France? And they said, no, it is from Siberia.
Right.
You know, I said, well, it can't be champagne, can it? Because champagne comes from champagne, you know. No, it is good Russian champagne.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay.
Well, I shouldn't think it comes from Siberia either.
Well, that's what she said.
It's too cold.
Well, apparently it gets very hot in the summer in Siberia, and that's when they grow the grapes, yeah. So, yeah, no, it's true.
That is absolute rubbish.
No, it's not. No,
it does
not
get hot in Siberia.
It does. It gets boiling hot in the summer.
I don't believe
it gets to 40.
I don't believe you.
It does.
Well, why do they talk about sending people to Siberia? Because they never come back because it's so cold and horrible.
No, they send them down salt mines and they never emerge.
So you're saying it gets very hot in Siberia?
Very, very hot indeed.
I may have to check that.
No, you can check that all you like. Anyway, point of my story is, I said to the woman, how much is the glass of champagne?
Yeah.
And by the way, I never drink champagne because only one third of my heart works.
You said you couldn't drink it.
I didn't know I had a knackered heart in those days, right? Yeah. It was pre-acute heart failure.
So it's ancient history then?
Well, it's not ancient history. It's a fantastic story of how Russian society collapsed and then re-emerged, you know? Okay. And she said, it is 1 ruble, okay? I said, okay. Well,
which was how much in those days?
Well, this is the very interesting point. And I said, well, I haven't got any rubles. I said, would you accept American dollars? And she said, oh, yes. And I said, so how many American... She said, oh, well, in this country, 1 ruble is worth 1 American dollar.
Wow.
I said, okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm talking about $1, right?
So nothing.
Now, actually, the exchange rate in America was 100 rubles to $1.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So every time I had a glass of champagne, then a few of the guys came in the bar. So in the end, we probably had about, I would say, 20 glasses of champagne, okay? Right. So I'd given this lady 20 US dollars. Right.
That should have got you 20 glasses of champagne.
It did. But that was 2,000 US rubles, right? Okay. 2,000 US rubles. Russian rubles. 2,000 Russian rubles.
Yeah.
The average pay of a worker in Russia at the time was 300 rubles a week.
Right.
So I gave.
That sounds like quite a lot, 300 rubles a week.
Well, that's apparently what it was, 250, 300 rubles a week. I gave that woman nearly 2 months' wages in the space of 90 minutes just buying champagne from her bar.
She must have liked you.
She loved me. She couldn't believe it. You know, it was absolutely unbelievable.
Is that why you gave her so much money? Because you liked the way that it made you feel?
No, not at all. I didn't realise I was giving her loads of money. I was only giving her $1 a time for a glass of champagne.
Uh-huh.
I mean, crikey, how much a glass of champagne cost in Wall Street?
Well, in Wall Street, $20? About $20.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
It costs about 20 quid in a decent hotel in this country
as well. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's the way it is, man. That's the way it is. Now, you know, it's a time of year when, of course, you've got to look after wildlife. You know that, don't you?
It is a time of year when you look after wildlife.
You've got to look after wildlife. And I'll tell you why. Because my bird bath freezes over. So in the middle of the night, I get up and go out.
I thought you were going to put a ping pong ball in it.
Well, it doesn't work.
Doesn't it?
I've tried ping pong balls.
You've tried that?
Yeah, it doesn't work. It just freezes into the ice.
Huh.
I've tried lemon juice.
That doesn't work, no.
The only thing that will stop it freezing over is antifreeze.
Right.
But antifreeze will poison the birds.
Well, yeah, it's not easy to use.
So it's not good. So anyway, what I do is I get out in the middle of the night and I smash it open. You know what I mean?
Well, you pour hot water from a kettle on it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Didn't
that
make all the stone crack?
Well, unfortunately, I poured a boiling kettle of water on directly onto the base and it split.
Yeah.
So it started leaking.
So you're now going to get a new bird bath.
Yeah, well,
Well,
I repaired it, actually. I repaired it, but now it's going to be leaking again. You know what I mean?
Killed
but me. But there we are. Now, what I wanted to say to you was, I was very, very fortunate to find the other night, when I was in my kitchen overlooking my roof garden.
Oh, yes.
And light was still there. A robin arrived in my bird bath.
A robin?
Oh, beautiful.
Robin redbreast.
Robin redbreast. Yeah. A beautiful sight. And they're not really red. They're orange, aren't they? You know what I mean?
I mean, you know what? When I first saw them in America, I was much more taken with them because they're slightly bigger.
Oh, yeah?
They're a bit more kind of like sort of blackbird size.
Right, okay.
And they are genuinely red-breasted.
Yes, they are, yes.
Whereas,
yes.
as you quite rightly say, they are more orangey here.
They are more orangey here,
yeah. For some reason.
But nevertheless, I thought, what a beautiful sight, you know, to see a little robin redbreast. However, I mean, robins are, you know, they're not all they're made out to be. You know, they're supposed to be like...
Well, what are they made out to be?
Well, these cuddly little creatures, you know, who flap around at Christmas and all that kind of stuff. The point is that they're done for when it freezes because they can't get worms out the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what they feed on.
And the ground doesn't get soft until about March.
That's absolutely right. Now then, did you know that when we first invented the penny postage stamp...
Yeah.
The postman who delivered it were called robins because their uniforms were red.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. So robins have an awful lot of, you know, association with our country going back 300 or 400 years.
What about Batman and Robin?
Well, Robin's just a name of a... What a stupid question. Robin
is,
of course...
it is a stupid question.
Of course a stupid question. Robin's a name of a blinking...
yeah, but he's not named after a robin... As in a red-breasted robin, is it?
No.
Batman is nicknamed after a bat.
What?
So Batman is named after a bat.
Yeah.
Because there's some kind of connection between flying and Batman.
Yes.
And, you know, superheroes.
Yes.
Why is Robin not linked in some way to a robin?
No, he's not. He's not. Robin
Why is he called Robin?
We once worked for an editor called Robin, didn't we? Robin Esser?
I didn't know.
Oh, no, Robin Esser was a great guy, but he's dead now. He's editor of the... Well, that was the famous story about when Alan Frame, another colleague of ours, thought he'd become editor of the Sunday Express, went downstairs into the Popinjay bar...
To tell everybody what a great job he'd just got.
Oh, he said, over me an account, started tanking it up, offering everybody a drink and all that for about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then Robin Esser came in... And said
he had more of a red face and a red breast.
Well, no. Robin Esser came in and said, "Oh, hi, Al." He said, "What are you celebrating?" He said, "I've got something to celebrate tonight as well."
Right.
Alan Frame said, "Oh, Robin," he said, "haven't you heard?" "Heard what?" "Oh, I'm the new editor of the Sunday Express." He said, "What?"
"Incorrect."
He said, "I'm the new editor of the Sunday Express. Lord Stevens took me into his office."
Yes.
3 hours ago, and I've got the title. Because the previous editor had sort of, you know, been sacked or something.
Disappeared off under a car.
And Robin Esser, who was executive editor of the Daily Express, said, "I don't think that's correct, Alan." "What do you mean?" And Robin, and Alan Frame had a tightly cropped white beard.
He did.
You know, a bit like Ken Bates's, you know, but way ahead of his time.
Yes.
And Robin, who was a very genial man and much brighter than Al, because Robin was a Cambridge graduate.
Right.
Alan had just worked his way up through
Grammar
from the print
boy,
room when he was 16 and all that. Yeah, yeah.
But he had a very posh voice, though.
Yeah, very posh voice. Oh, he had great aspirations of elitist society to which he wanted to join.
Yes.
So it was good that he became head of the Sunday Express in his own eyes, you know?
Yeah.
So Robin said, "I don't think that's quite right, Al." And I said, "What do you mean? So Lord Stevens, you know, the proprietor." He said... "Well, perhaps he's changed his mind."
Yeah.
He said, "What are you talking about, Robin?" He said, "I'm the new editor of the Sunday Express." "What?" He said, "I'm the new editor of the Sunday Express." And he took a letter out of his pocket, and it was a letter of appointment.
Right.
He said, "What?"
How embarrassing is that? I mean, if I'd been down in Frame, I would have just slunk off and never been seen again.
Yeah, exactly.
The idea that he carried on working
and
continued to just sort of hang about.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, listen, I think we've come to the end of this one. You know?
Well, I just want to give you two more facts about robins, please. This is great.
Go on.
You know when you hear birds tweeting in the middle of the night, everybody thinks they're nightingales.
Twittering.
Yeah, you know, singing in the middle of the night. Yeah, the only bird that sings in the middle of the night.
Can you make a noise like a bird? No. I was hoping you were going to like whistle.
I can't whistle.
Really?
I can't. I've never been able to whistle.
Why not?
I don't know. I just can't.
That is pathetic.
That's the best I can do.
That is pathetic.
Anyway, you know the famous song a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square?
In Berkeley Square, yes.
It was a robin. Nightingales don't sing at night, but robins do. Robins are...
Well, when do nightingales sing?
During the day. But robins are nocturnal, right? So the nightingale robins often sing at night, especially in cities where permanently lit street lamps fool them into thinking that the sun is about to rise.
Right.
Now then, what happened was, right, Mrs. Thatcher bounds into a cabinet meeting one morning and says, "Oh, what a joyous day." And she wasn't talking about getting the Falklands back or an election victory. She said, "I woke up this morning and I... She said, "I remembered last night at about 2 or 3 a.m., I heard the delightful singing and tweeting of a nightingale in my garden at Downing Street.
Right.
And everybody just nodded their heads. And then one cabinet minister, right, who...
Should remain nameless or not?
Should remain nameless. Yeah. He piped up and said, Prime Minister, yes, what is it? What budget are you going to give me now? No, actually, Prime Minister, that wasn't a nightingale.
Right.
She said, what? He said, nightingales don't sing at night.
Yeah.
That was a robin. Honestly, it was autumn, you know. He said, the first of the robins coming over. She said, how dare you question what I heard in the middle of the night? What's your job again?
Yes.
And that was it for him. That was it. He should have just kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, he should have done.
He should have done.
Well, that teaches you a lesson, which is probably one that you could learn as well. There are times when you should keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
And times when you shouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
But that's brought us to the end of another episode of On The Record.
Certainly has.
OTR, as you call it.
Yeah.
We'll be back with another one after Christmas.
Yes. The other thing is, of course, in Pyongyang, people are generally smaller than Americans because they're North Korean. So maybe they don't need as
actually,
high a ceiling.
Koreans are quite tall.
Sorry?
Koreans are quite tall.
Yeah, maybe they don't need as high a ceiling, you know, for each
rubbish.
Room.
That's no, rubbish.
No, it's not. It's not.
No, that is
have you never
rubbish.
Seen the entranceways on the HMS Victory? Because when Lord
Nelson...
Well,
yeah, because people in those days were a lot smaller.
That's what I'm saying, a lot smaller. Yeah, so
you don't know anything about the people of North Korea. The people of North Korea,
yes.
Like the people of South Korea,
yes.
Are actually quite tall.
Yeah, well, I'm sure some of them are, but generally speaking, they're a nation who are not physically as tall or large
incorrect.
As the Western world.
No, that's not
because
true.
Because the Western world, unfortunately, sticks hamburgers down their throat quite excessively and become bigger in all sorts of directions.
No, you're wrong. Genetically speaking... Because I've studied this, right?
In Southeast Asia. Where did you study it?
Singapore.
Oh, Singapore.
When I went to Singapore.
What were you doing in Singapore?
I was there on a freebie.
Oh, you ran away with somebody, didn't you?
No.
No?
What I did was I went there on a freebie, and what I was told when I was being escorted around by the Singapore Tourist Board was that it's very easy to spot all sorts of different people from all sorts of different countries in Singapore because you get Malays from Malaysia, you get Japanese from Japan, you get Burmese.
Well, that's where they generally come from, Japanese people.
Where do people from Burma come from?
Burma.
Yeah, no, be correct. You see, you got that wrong. Myanmar, actually.
Yeah, but Myanmar is what the modern-day Burma is called.
Exactly right. Yes. So does this place happen permanently?
Which place?
The place in Pyongyang? No, the one in Vegas.
Oh, in Las Vegas, you can actually see it from a spaceship. You can see the beam of light coming out of the...
When's the last time you're on a spaceship?
The Pyramid Hotel. Well, I haven't been on a spaceship, but I read reports of people who are.
Are you sure you haven't been abducted?
Well, I've flown at 60,000 feet on the Concorde, which makes you officially... Your official status is astronaut if you fly over 50,000 feet.
We've already discounted that as a load of old bollocks.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.